welcome in the Word of God this afternoon to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This chapter begins with mention being made of the end of time. And that really sets the context for some of the closing admonitions, and one of which we'll be considering tonight. Admonition that is given in the context of the reality that the end of time is coming, and also that the end of time brings about, or will bring about for the people of God, a time of great tribulation and increased affliction for the people of God. Let's read the whole of 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Notice there, the apostle speaks of they, them, and he of course is speaking there of the ungodly. And now he speaks of the believer in contrast to that. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. We are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So while we read the Word of God together, the words of our text are verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thankfulness, beloved, is something that should characterize the people of God. We know the Word of God, and know the Scriptures in Romans chapter 1. We know that the Word of God makes very clear there that unthankfulness or ingratitude is that which characterizes the ungodly, the unbeliever. Romans 1:21, speaking of the ungodly reprobate, the Word of God says there, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. It's the unbeliever who is unthankful. And yet, we must also confess it is very difficult for us to be thankful. Difficult for us to be thankful, first of all, because we live in a thankless age and in a thankless society. Why is the society and the world in which we live unthankful? Because of discontentment. The frame of mind of the world in general is that regardless of what man has, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, there's always more to be attained. And so instead of being content with and thankful for what one has, most want what they do not have. And you and I cannot deny that we are affected by that. Isn't it true that we often think, or we often say, if only I had more money, if only I had a house, a car, work, a spouse, then I would be content, and then I would be thankful. It's also difficult for us to be thankful because of the difficult circumstances of life that we sometimes are in. It's our human nature, I guess, that we often focus just on the negative things in our lives. And there are many of them. Our minds get stuck on those things that are not as we wish they were. And so we say, I don't really have much to be thankful for. I maybe don't even have anything to be thankful for. There are way too many things in my life that are against me. It's easy enough, perhaps, to be thankful when everything is going well. But it's a struggle when life is characterized by many troubles. Yet the Word of God is clear, beloved, that we must be thankful. And the Word of God speaks in absolute language concerning the calling of the child of God to be thankful. It's especially clear from Ephesians 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. There the Word of God says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things, giving thanks always and giving thanks for all things. Very comprehensive. Absolute language. And then in addition to that, there are the words of our text. In everything, give thanks. That's different from being thankful always, and that's different from being thankful for all things. And we're called to consider that Word of God and to see that difference. And so let's do that as we look at this text under the theme, giving thanks in everything. And we'll notice what God requires our struggle to do this, and finally the only possibility. As I already said, beloved, in everything is different from for everything. And the Word of God tells us to be thankful for everything. Then, of course, the Word of God is telling us to be thankful for things, for objects. The Word of God that tells us to be thankful here in everything is a Word of God that is telling us to be thankful in every circumstance and every situation that we face and that we experience in life. And there are no exceptions. It's not in some things or it's not in most things, but it's in everything. Give thanks. There are no excuses. There is nothing that is outside the parameters of the thanks that God requires of us in this text. No matter what happens to you in life, be thankful, God says. No matter what occurs in your life, be thankful, God says. No matter what you are facing and what you are experiencing in your family life or in your personal life, and no matter how difficult that thing is, the Word of God says, be thankful in that thing. This is the will of God for us. This is what God requires of us. And the thankfulness, the scope of the thankfulness that God requires of us is very clearly universal. Thankfulness regardless of the circumstances of life, and not only a thankfulness regardless of the circumstances of our earthly lives, but a thankfulness to God in those very circumstances, a thankfulness to God for those circumstances while we are in them and while we are experiencing them. That's what God requires. So we stand before that command, that will, that injunction, that requirement of God. Are we thankful in everything? You can understand, beloved, that the difficulty of that requirement is that it's all comprehensive. Really, this is the most comprehensive requirement of the Word of God with regards to thankfulness. It's the most comprehensive because it includes being thankful always, and includes being thankful for everything. Certainly we have to be mindful of that. First of all, we have to be thankful for everything. We have to be thankful for all the things that God in His divine providence provides for us. He gives every creature his daily food, and He does that for us as well. He provides you with work, He provides you with health, He provides you with home, He provides you with family, He provides you with friends. Every earthly need comes from God. It's an amazing thing when we stop to think of it. So easily take everything that we have for granted in this earthly life, but think of it in these terms, beloved. If there was a creature in this earth that is as far below us as we are below God, would we give that creature any attention, any notice? We see the ants, and what do? We stomp on them, kill them. And yet God, who is far greater than us, compared to our greatness in relation to the ants, nevertheless cares for his creatures. He cares for you, he cares for me, he does that every day. And so we should be thankful for that. Are we thankful for those things? Or are we instead dissatisfied and complaining that we don't have enough, wanting more? But then when it comes to being thankful for everything, we must of course especially be thankful for the spiritual blessings from God and gifts from God. Thankful for our redemption. Thankful for the grace of God. The new creation that God has made us in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, is far more magnificent than the earthly creation that God has made, and cost God a lot more than it did for God to make this world and to give us life and everything that we need in earthly life, because God's redemptive work cost him his only Son. And blessings flow to us from Calvary, the forgiveness of sins, the acceptance that we have with God, and the holiness of life that God is pleased to work in us through the Spirit. We ought to be thankful for all that. I think sometimes here again, beloved, we take all of that for granted. I know that's true of myself. And not only take for granted the richness of God's gifts to us in Jesus Christ, but even sometimes we complain about these things and complain within ourselves that we haven't received more of them. Doesn't that thought run through your minds at times? I wish I had more grace from God. I wish I had more holiness from God. I wish God would give me more hope in my heart. I wish God would give more comfort in my soul. I wish God would give me more joy of salvation in my life. And certainly it's not wrong for us to desire these things, but it is wrong for us to be desiring these things and then losing sight of what God has already given. It's true, we're not perfectly holy, but let's be thankful for the holiness that God has worked in us by His Spirit. It's true, we're not always confident of our salvation as we ought to be and desire to be, but let's be thankful for the assurance that God has already given us. And it's true that our faith is not always strong. We're not always on the mountaintops of faith. But let's be thankful to God and let's say it to Him for the faith that has been freely given us in Christ His Son. Thankful that you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus Christ. So that, first of all, we have to be thankful for everything. It's implied. But then there is the specific requirement of the text that we are to be thankful in everything. That's much more demanding, that's much more difficult. Thankfulness for things, really, compared to being thankful in everything, is quite easy. When it comes to being thankful for everything, then we can delay thankfulness and put it off. We can wait a little while. And I think that's often what we do. We separate our thanks for the things that God gives to us that are difficult for us. We separate our thanks from the things themselves, or at least from when those things occur in our earthly life. And we can be thankful for those things afterwards, later in time. God sends us a burden, God sends us a trial in our life, and we say, yes, I have to be thankful for everything. I have to be thankful for the troubles of life as well, but I don't have to be thankful for it now. I can wait. I can wait until I see later on in my life how that was good for me, and I can see God's good purpose through that trial. Then I'll be thankful to God and thank Him for it. Say, if that was all that God required of us, then thankfulness would be relatively easy. Because that is our inclination, the Word of God makes very clear that's not acceptable to God. Thankfulness in everything is what God requires. And that means that what God requires is that we are thankful for things while we face them, while we are experiencing them, not later. Thankful to God for the death of a family member while I am experiencing the heartache and the loss. Thankfulness to God for the loss of my work and for less income when I am told about it. Thankfulness to God for sickness when I am lying in the hospital bed and facing surgery. Thankfulness to God for a broken relationship while it's all happening to me. Thankfulness to God for the valleys of death and distress that I face in life while I'm in those valleys, not once I'm delivered. Thankfulness for death, thankfulness for widowhood, thankfulness for every struggle in earthly life, even while my heart is troubled and I am weeping, and I am unsure, I must give God thanks in everything. And really what the Word of God is telling us here, beloved, is that we have to do what Job did when he lost all his possessions, and when on top of that he lost all his children, and all of that in one day. Nevertheless, he confessed, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is to be praised and thanked by me." And that's certainly a very strict requirement from God. And how do you find yourself in relation to it, beloved? Are you thankful in everything? Everything. We struggle to be. We struggle to be because it's our inclination to divide everything up. And so we make two groups of things, or we make two piles of things in our earthly life and all its experiences. One pile is the pile of good things. One pile is the pile of bad things, the evils that come our way. So we put all the good things over here, the things that are as we would like them to be, the things that turn out as we would wish for them to turn out, the things that are pleasant, the things that are easy for us to accept from God, and we say, here are the things that I'll be thankful for, and we give God thanks for them. Then we don't give God thanks for the rest. The pile of bad things, the pile of evil things are not things that we thank God for. We've made a division between the two. How often do you find yourself saying to God, Lord God, thanks for this sickness. Lord God, thanks for the cancer. Lord God, thanks for the poverty. Thanks, Heavenly Father, for death of a loved one. You know, if that's what we do, creating those two piles of things, then really we're no different from the ungodly. That's what they do. They divide everything up into two separate groups, two separate piles, and they say, well, these are the things that we'll be happy with. These are the things that we'll be thankful for, if they even think of being thankful. Of course, thankfulness isn't possible for them because they aren't regenerated, as we saw from Romans 1:21. But they'll talk of being thankful. These are the things we're thankful for, but not those things. I say, beloved, if that's what we do, we're no different from the ungodly. We've created a thankfulness that is conditional. We've created a thankfulness that is dependent on things, dependent on circumstances, and dependent upon our judgment of whether those things are acceptable, those things are good, those things are pleasant for us. God calls His children, through the words of our text, to rise above that approach of the ungodly, and to take the frame of mind that considers everything that we have and everything that we experience in life as belonging to one group or one pile. Everything together, and we giving thanks for all of it and for all the circumstances that are part of it. God calls us to rise above the judgments that are made by the ungodly as to whether things are good and bad, and to say, I am thankful in prosperity and in poverty. I am thankful in having children and in childlessness. I am thankful in having work and in unemployment. I am thankful in happiness and in sadness in my life. I am thankful in success and in failure. That's difficult. There are some things in our life that hinder our thanksgiving. In addition to the fact that we divide or tend to divide things up into two groups, and not keep it all in one group. One of those things that hinders our thanksgiving to God is worldliness, a love of the world and of the things that are in the world, so that we have an earthly focus in life, wanting life on this earth to be what it is for the ungodly, a vision for my earthly life that is filled with pleasure and possessions and prestige and popularity and success. And so we get caught up in the here and the now, and we have all kinds of earthly goals and wishes and desires that we are aimed at, and when we don't get what we want, then we're down in the dumps and unthankful for our circumstances in life. That's why the scripture says, that's one of the reasons why the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But another reason why we struggle to be thankful is because we're selfish. And we say, I don't want things to be like this in my life. I want my life to be like this. Instead, I want my wife or my husband to be like this. I want my children to be like this. I want this work in my life. I want this income. I want this standard of living. I want these experiences in life. And it's all about me then, isn't it? Want. Selfishness. That produces a thankless spirit. And then there's impatience, the desire for instant gratification, expecting God to do things according to my timetable. I want this and I want it now. Not next year, not next month, not next week, not even tomorrow. I want my life to be like this. I want these experiences in life. These are the things I desire. They are things that are according to the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with my asking for them. And now I want God to give them to me, and to give them to me today. Today. And because God is not operating according to our schedule, we become unthankful. But there is especially this, beloved, that hinders our thankfulness, and that is doubt, a lack of faith. Lack of faith. Doubting the Word of God, not trusting His promises that all things are for our good. He tells us in His Word that He is faithful. He tells us in the Gospel that His mercies are new every morning. And we, in the midst of our trying circumstances in life, don't believe it. We say, I'm not sure that that's the case. Doubt. And doubting God's power. What does the Lord tell us about His power in His Word? He tells us, I do my will in heaven and on earth, and none can stay my hand, none can stop me. And my will is to save my people. My will is to work all things in their life for their salvation as preparation for glory. And we say in the midst of the experience of the troubles of life, I don't think that's true. I don't believe that God is actually able to accomplish that in my life. These things are not for my good. They're bad for me. They're bad for me. And so we doubt God's power.
We also doubt at times God's wisdom. Things happen to us and we say, why has God done this? How can this be the best thing to happen to me at this point in my life? If only things were a different way instead. Why is this the situation that God has put me in? God isn't wise. God isn't doing things right. Surely there's a better way. We doubt His wisdom. And we doubt as well His love. Difficulties come our way and we hear and we believe that nagging voice of the devil who says to us when troubles come, here's proof that God doesn't love you. The scriptures tell us otherwise. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. We doubt His love. We believe the lie of the devil. And all of this produces a thankless spirit. So you see, beloved, for all these reasons and more besides as well, it is difficult for us. It is a struggle for us to be thankful and to be thankful in everything. Not only is it difficult, we would say, it seems impossible. Impossible. How can I be thankful in sorrow, in pain, in sickness, in loneliness, in poverty? How can I be thankful when my life is upside down? How can I be thankful when all that I experience from day to day in my life is distress and trouble and one burden heaped upon another? It seems impossible. The text points us to the possibility. And the text points us to the possibility when the Word of God says to us this: this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the command of God in Christ Jesus. This is the command of God that comes to you who are in Christ Jesus. That's really the point. This is the command of God that comes to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is the command of God that comes to a people whom God loves and comes to a people whom God has chosen in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom God has redeemed in Christ Jesus, and whom God sanctifies in Christ Jesus, and whom God will glorify in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. And God says, this is my command to you as those who belong to Him. And that makes all the difference. It's not a cold will of God. It's not a command that comes from a God who is indifferent to us. But it's the will of the God who loves us, and the will of the God who is working all things for our salvation. And that points us, beloved, to the possibility of our heeding this command of the Word of God. The possibility is that we remember and keep always before our minds who we are. We are those who belong to Christ Jesus. And as those who belong to Christ Jesus, we are those then who live by what we have in Jesus Christ. We live by faith. By faith. It's exactly why, well, that points to the exact reason why we struggle with the difficulties of life, because we don't live by faith, but we live by sight. By sight. But God says, no, you are the people that are in Christ Jesus. Live by faith, not by sight. Don't live by what you see with your physical eyes. Don't judge things by how you view them with your earthly understanding of things, but live by faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. And what does faith do? Faith looks up. Looks up to God. Faith looks at God as God has revealed Himself in His Word. And faith looks up and sees God as the one who in His almighty sovereign will is the distributor of all things that we have and all things that we experience. The Almighty God who is on His throne and who is omnipotent. And the child of God says, as we sang earlier, all that I am, I owe to Thee. Everything that I have comes from God. And everything that I don't have is because God, in His wisdom, has determined it. And that means that as I experience trials in life and troubles that distress my soul, I know this is true of them. They don't come from the devil, but they come from the hands of my Heavenly Father, for I belong to Christ. When faith looks to God, faith confesses in spite of every appearance to the contrary, if that happens to be the case, faith confesses, my God, in whom I believe, is good, is good. Good in Himself, and good in all His actions. I may not see how this is good, but I don't need to see how this is good. I believe in God's unfailing goodness toward me as one who is in Christ Jesus, His Son. That, first of all, faith sees God. Sees things from that godly perspective. There's something else about faith, and that is that faith enables you and me to see ourselves, to see our undeservedness because of our depravity. There again, this brings up another reason why we struggle with the troubles that we have in earthly life. Somehow we convince ourselves and think to ourselves we deserve something better. Convince ourselves we deserve a life that's smooth. We deserve a life that's trouble-free. But when we live by faith, we don't say that. When we live by faith, we realize, I don't deserve anything good from God. If I deserve anything from God, I deserve a life that is filled with trouble 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And every day of my life, 70, 80, 90 years, if that's how long I live. That's what I deserve. I don't have a right to good things. I deserve nothing good. Nothing good. And therefore the child of God who lives by faith is one who does not say, this isn't fair. And one who lives by faith does not say, it ought to be different. But one who lives by faith says, I deserve nothing good from God. The only thing I deserve from God is His wrath and anger forever. Because I've sinned against God. Faith enables us to see God. Faith enables us to see ourselves and our undeservedness. And then thirdly, faith enables us to see that God's grace and mercy toward us in Jesus Christ is boundless. By faith that the child of God knows, I am united to Jesus Christ. I am one of His precious people. I'm His possession. And therefore nothing but the love of God is the motive behind everything that God sends me. It is God's love that sends me the good things of life. But it's also the love of God that is the motive of God behind the adversities that I experience in life. For I belong to God, and I belong to Christ, and whom God loves, He chastens. And by faith, as we understand that God's goodness to us in Jesus Christ is boundless, we say and we realize that His overall purpose in all that He does and sends is not me, not my pleasure, not my enjoyment of this earthly life, but His overall purpose is to conform me to the image of His Son in preparation for a life with Him in glory. And therefore, everything is good. And everything is something to be thankful for. I can be thankful in everything because according to God's definition of good, namely, good for my soul, good for my salvation, good for my sanctification, it's all for my benefit. It shapes me for heaven. Then I can be thankful in everything. Without exception. And then fourthly, as regards faith, first, by faith we see God and His hand of love in everything. Secondly, we see ourselves and our undeservedness. Thirdly, we see Christ by faith and what we have in Him. But fourthly, by faith we look beyond the experiences and troubles of this earthly life to the life that is coming. What does the child of God say who lives by faith? He says, this life isn't the only thing. This life is not the final thing. There is a life that is far greater in blessedness than even the best that I might have and enjoy in this life. The greatest earthly pleasure and the greatest earthly joy and the greatest earthly happiness is dim compared to what is coming. Living by faith, we look beyond this life to eternity. Living by faith, we look at what God has provided us in Jesus Christ in heaven, and we do not allow the things of this life to dim our view of what we have in Jesus Christ. Countless blessings forever and forever. So it is by faith in Christ, to whom we belong, who gives us that faith, who works that faith almightily by His irresistible Spirit, that we are able to be thankful in everything, to be thankful when all is well, as well as when we experience many evils in life. Pray without ceasing for that faith, beloved. It's verse 17 right before our text. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing for that faith. And may God give it so that by His grace we are thankful always for everything and in everything in this life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless and apply to our hearts and to our lives Thy word, the word of the gospel concerning Christ and our faith in Him, and the blessed hope that we have, and the gifts given us through Him that enable us to live as Thou hast called us to do in this life. Give us faith, we pray, a strong faith, a confident faith, a faith that lifts us up above that which is earthly, to the things that are spiritual and heavenly and eternal. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's now worship the Lord with our offering, and that offering will be for the general operating fund as well as for the building fund.